Sunday! Every Sunday, side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here's relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Eat, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, it's Sunday, so this must be Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show. And I'll tell you what, I was trying to put together a soulful, witty open for the show today, and I blew it. I couldn't come up with one. I was doing other things. So, but the underlying tone is going to be for me. You know, we usually don't date our shows, but everybody knows it's no secret. We're in Thanksgiving week, so
yes.
The theme for this week's going to be, hey, giving thanks for what you have, and, you know, I give thanks for this radio show, for my friends, of course, for my stellar co-host who's sitting over here waiting, and for you guys, for the listeners, for the audience, the people who keep us going and spurn us on to do this thing. So that's my deal. But on, I have to say that on this week in 1959 proved to be bad karmically for car guys, and one in particular, because the Ford Motor Company squashed Chris's dreams forever, his future dreams, when it canceled the Edsel. This was so you could never own a great copy to build yourself. So with that, I will introduce to you Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Thank you, my illustrious host, Ray Guarino, here with us on this fine Sunday. Yes, the world mourns. I could not, in 1959, purchase a new Edsel. Well, I could. You could purchase 60, but they built them all at that moment. I think I don't think any of them were actually built in 1960. They were all built in 1959. And then once the new year turned, it was the plug was pulled and that was it. But yeah, that's when the letter came out.
Right.
That the Edsel was going to be no more. November 22nd is and yes, we don't date our shows because they never pay for dinner.
Yeah, no, right. So this week, it might have been it wasn't the 22nd. I had made this note a few days ago, so it was a few days. But then again, they just said this week, so anytime, it was sometime.
Got it. Yeah, it was probably probably the end of November. That would make a lot of sense. That's when most of the layoffs happen.
Right, yeah.
Very true. That's when it usually happens. And this week has been fairly uneventful for me. I did have the Chrysler out. I tried to take advantage of some of the good weather. We did have some good weather this week. Yes. So I had the big one out because I the only way I can identify the car. I am not that advanced, nor am I that clever that I name my vehicles. You know, people that do this, see it in magazines, we hear about it on videos. These clever individuals name their cars. I'm not that clever. I don't do that. Now, mind you, it's really confusing in my garage because when you open up the garage, there were two green Chrysler convertibles there.
Right.
So I have to delineate from one from the other. So I'll tell my wife, I'll say, well, I'm going to take the convertible out. Which one? I'm going to take the green one. Which one? Well, I'm going to take the Chrysler. Which one? Well, I'm going to take it. It's like it's gotten to that point where I just have to now say I'm going to take the big one or the little one.
Well, that makes sense.
That's it.
We've had requests from Command Central because we have, you know, this is like Dr. Strangelove and How I Won the War, dropping bombs. Can you kick your audio up a little bit?
Kick my audio up, sure.
You know,
how about now?
You know, just kick yourself a little bit and we'll be happy.
Check one, two. Check one, two. How do I sound?
Very good.
Ah, good. I feel much better now.
Nice.
So, yeah. So that's where I am. I took the big one out.
How is she riding? And I use the word she because we usually have effeminate, you know, it's like ships and cars. How is the old girl performing on the road?
She's doing very well. I was thinking of you this week because I started the air compressor up and I went through the ritual of checking all the tire pressures in the fleet. I try and do it once. I know you do it more than that.
Yeah.
I just try and do it once. I'm very pleased. I have, speaking of tire pressure, I have a set of, and I am not lying here.
You have a set, right?
I do. Yeah. A set of Sears Allstate tires.
Okay.
On the car.
From what year?
1981.
Yeah.
I am not lying.
Drive that 5,000-pound car around the highways and byways and just wait for them to blow out.
There was a set of them in the basement of the owner. The owner that I purchased the car from, he says, oh, by the way, do you want the radial tires that are in the basement? I'm like, you got radial tires in the basement? He says, yeah, I got four brand new Sears radials in the basement. I'm like, I'll take them.
Nice and dry and hot. Yeah.
They still had the blue dye on the white wall. Yeah,
you get that off because I think from then it would be like part of the rubber.
It was a chore to get it off, but it did. And now, mind you, I have to take these tires to go get them mounted on the rims and hung back on the car. Now I can't drive the car on what's on there because what's on there are Boulderinos
what did you use to take that blue off? What was the magic?
Well, according to our internet know-it-all and producer, no, I did not use Mother Switzer's convertible top soap to take.
Because you want to have some of the rubber left to actually put on the road.
But I did resort to gasoline.
Nope.
I did resort to that. Well, here's the way I look at it. You could easily use Brillo. And then many years I used to do that. I used to use Brillo to clean the white walls. But when you use Brillo, you create little tiny marks in the white wall that dirt just gravitates to. So therefore, you're only having to clean the tires that much more if you already scar the white wall with a Brillo, with the Brillo pad. So I thought, because these tires are brand new, let me try some sort of chemical. So I used something that I remember my dad using. It was in a white spray container. It was called
Brill Cream.
He used that in his hair. It was like Handy White or Bright White.
Bletch
or something.
White.
Huh?
Bletch White.
Bletch White. That was it. Good. Look at that.
And the bletch, of course, is probably some language that means bleach. So
it probably
it was bleach. That's what it was. It was literally, you know, you could use Clorox. But I was going to say just, you know, the perfect, in my thoughts, the perfect material instead of Brillo to use would be like a Scotch-Brite pad. Because you can get them in fine, you know, fine grain.
But wouldn't a Scotch-Brite also do the same thing and create scars in the rubber?
You know, maybe on a microscopic level, but let's face it, it's not metal like a Brillo is. It's not stainless steel.
Right.
So it is a fiber, and you can get them like sandpaper. You buy it in grit level.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy the fine one, which I think is I have greens and I have like burgundy ones. I forget which one is the fine. I forget how their numbers run, but you can get them that are very fine because guys use it to polish stainless steel moldings and things like that.
Yeah, that is true. Yep. That is true. But that's what I was thinking of. In order to clean these things, I wanted to keep the white wall. It's my first chance to maintain these ancient good tires. And I wanted to keep the white wall somewhat intact. Oh, but you should have seen you never thought in a million years that you can raise the attention of just a tire guy who mounts and balances tires. But when I came in with the old tire and a brand new Sears radial, and he looked at the two and was like, who are you? What are you doing? Like, he had a million questions.
Where's your spaceship? I know you came from somewhere other than this world.
Yes. He was like, yeah, the mouth open, you know, like, what is going on? He took such care mounting these things. It was hysterical. But yeah, and it really is amazing. It is one of the, I got to say, it's one of the talking points of my car that a lot of guys just don't have an answer for. And I thought to myself, well, maybe I'll put them on the side and hold on to them, and maybe they'll be worth something someday. They're tires.
Yeah.
Put them on a car.
Right.
Don't care. But just for the conversation piece alone, I think it's pretty funky. But a lot of people that walk around that car, it's kind of funny. You have to see them point, and they do.
Yeah,
and they do. A lot of guys that they point.
Do you have like an original spare in that car?
Yes, there is.
Wow.
There is it's an original bias spare in that car. And it's still surprised. It still holds pressure. It still holds air. It Excellent. Sure does. Yeah, it's hysterical on the rim, and that's what cracks me up about this thing, because it has been, the car has been toyed with. It has been, meat hooks have been laid on this car. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You could tell by, there's some craftsmanship and workmanship on this vehicle that's a little questionable, but it was done to an original vehicle, and that has not. A lot of it, a lot of that patina, a lot of that originality is still with the car. So yeah. I'm very pleased about that.
Well, that's because it was stored and the family kept it. So that helps a lot. It didn't go through a number of hands.
Right. It's only maybe, if anything, I'm probably the third owner.
So let me ask you this. If you're out in that car on a remote road and you don't have your cell phone or your Dick Tracy communicated with you, can you tell what time it is now?
Yes, I can.
Nah. Well, so the yes. sundial you mounted on that giant hood does work. Good to know.
And it's made out of stone. It's only 600 pounds.
No problem for that hood.
No problem. Mileage drops a little bit. Yeah. But other than that, tough to see over it. But other than that.
Your dynamics at like 3 and 6 o'clock are kind of compromised too. But, you know.
I'm sitting in a parking lot. And I'm just sitting there and looking at my phone. And I'm waiting for the bank to open. And I'm just sitting in the car. And it's nice and quiet. And all of a sudden I hear, twing.
I love that sound.
I was like, what is that? The clock.
I love that sound. Yeah. So, you know, Chris, there you go. We have now actually made history where we share something that is the same. We each have working manual clocks in our older cars.
It's amazing, isn't it? Because when we were younger, did any of the clocks in our cars ever work?
Never. In fact, you know, back, I have an ashtray here somewhere from my Pontiac that back in 77, I don't know how much money I spent for it, but I bought this rectangular LCD, red LCD digital clock.
Right.
It was like, it was a panel mount. And again, I don't know what I paid for it. They were kind of common. That's what everybody wants to get into the digital age. And I actually cut a rectangle hole in the ashtray. I didn't want to put it in the dash anywhere. Again, I was thinking in the future, you can change an ashtray.
Right.
And I did mount it in that ashtray and ran the wires through and powered it up, and I had a digital clock.
So if you wanted to see what the time it was, you had to open the ashtray.
No, it was right in the face of the ashtray. I literally mounted it in the face of the ashtray.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Because mine,
I think you got to open it up.
That's a good point. You know, ashtrays on cars, a lot of them, like the more classy cars, like the Caddies and the upscale cars, probably your Chrysler, the ashtray would like fold down. And when you folded it up, it kind of blended into the dash. On my Pontiac, it was part of the dash, just folded out, you know, like a Chevy or something. You know, there was no real pomp and circumstance about the ashtray.
And there's no luxury to a Chrysler ashtray whatsoever. It is the same one. It's the same one out of taxicabs. That's what I loved about Chrysler. The bean counters were always, you can always tell when a bean counter had their mark on a vehicle. Because if you looked at the ashtray on a Caddy, especially like your 65, if your 65 had the flip-up door, that aluminum stainless looking thing that flipped up, and it displayed the ashtrays in all your smoking glory. Oh, boy.
And that ashtray was wide.
Oh, yeah.
I think it had dual lighters, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think it had one lighter in the center, but we could be wrong.
I know he saw dual lighters somewhere, but maybe it was somebody else's car. I don't know. But, yeah, even like the light, you know, the ashtrays lit up. They had lights in them in the rear.
Well, yeah, you had a lighter on either side, the back.
You remember they had ashtrays in the backs of the front seat?
Oh,
so the ashtrays would pull down?
Sure, but not on the Caddy. On the Caddies, they were in the door, armrests. Yes. But yeah, on the 63 and 64s, you had to put, it was almost like a secret doorway. You had to push it in, and then it would fold out, and it would be so smooth, and it would just drop. Yeah. This is not like the Chrysler at all. The Chrysler, you grab hold of this metal bar, and you pull it down, and it goes ka-pring. Right. And then everything in there, because I don't keep anything. I don't keep ashes in an ashtray anymore. Who the heck smokes? But when I keep in there, it all comes flying out like it's a like a light bulb or a couple of screws that whatever it is, just pshing, it comes all flying out all over the place. So you have to two hand it. You have to open the ashtray with one hand and keep the other hand to keep all the stuff contained in the ashtray. And
I'm like, I usually keep a chapstick in the ashtray.
Yeah, I know what you keep in the ashtray.
Yeah, there's no coins. It's somewhere else. But yeah, everybody has a different thought.
But the clock works. The clock keeps time, and every once in a while, I think it was I installed it right after the show last week. I finished it up. It was a chore because I was the. Yeah. I think I'm the only guy who can actually get a clock into the dash, and it was shifted over about a quarter of an inch. I'm like, what in the world? Bolts were matching up. I'm like, what is going on here? I had to get back under there and reinstall it again and create tools. I had a regular quarter inch drive to two extensions, and then I had a quarter inch socket. And in the quarter inch socket, I had a Phillips head screw tip.
Right.
And I used a piece of of masking tape around the screw tip so I could fit it in there so it fits snugly. Yep. And on top of that, I used Funtac.
Oh, cool.
I walked in the house and I said to my wife, I said, do you have any Funtac? And she's like, you're working on the car, right? You're not doing any first grade projects out there. I'm like, no, I'm working on the car. Yeah. So I took the Funtac and I had to put it on the tip of the Phillips head end, and then put the screw on that and send the whole thing up into the dash.
You know, now here's something that you brought up a week or two ago that I've seen firsthand, and I've seen used quite a lot. Guys in the body shops, again, because, you know, I've been seeing this. That's what one of the things they use Dum-Dum for. And Mike Jr. does that. Like, you know, I was trying to do something one day in the shop where I forget if it was a socket or a driver, and I couldn't, you know, I couldn't make the bolt. It was a weird. He was, put some dum-dum in there. And Steve in Liberal, he's famous for that. He dum-dums everything.
Really?
Well, literally, yeah, you put a blob in there and it just holds the bolt in. Beautiful. Yep. Perfect. Yeah.
Because the bolt, the screw, not only had to go straight up, but it had to go on an angle. Yeah. So now gravity is not your friend at that point because the screw is going to fall right off.
Right.
And it usually lands in your eye or in your nose. Or
it's like my T30 Torx that's in my wife's car somewhere. You hear it go click. Click, ting, click, ting, and you never see it again.
I love the fact that still bothers you.
And I bought a whole other set of Torx. I couldn't buy this one, but a whole other set of Torx drivers. And yeah, it's because it ticked me off. It shouldn't. It's a damn Matco screwdriver, Brian. It's so strong. It's unbelievable.
I love it. This is the perfection. This is the perfection that you are saddled with.
Yeah.
That you're lumbered by.
Right.
But I lose a 10 millimeter socket and I'm like, okay, let me go get another one. Yeah, that's why more than one.
I got a big albacore around my neck, I know.
Oh my gosh. Cool. And that's the funny thing because one of those sockets, one of those socket Phillips head affairs that I built, quarter socket Phillips head, I put it, real smart guy here, I have a flexible quarter inch like screwdriver handle, but it's flexible, it's on a spring.
Yeah.
So I thought, that's going to work. So I put the quarter inch drive Phillips head affair on that. And the Funtac and the screw, and now I'm going up in there with that. And of course, it hits a wire, bends, flexes the spring right before my very eyes, and then fires that quarter inch drive. Phillips said, "Pachoom!" Goes right across. It goes in the dash. Gone.
let me just clear something up here. Maybe you'll know the because I don't remember the exact lineage of this, but. because our web know-it-all just kind of called this out. And what I was doing is I was just parodying. When I said I had an albacore around my neck, there was a comedian who used that. Was it Shecky Green or Henny Youngman? Who used to say that?
Oh, gosh.
Because it was obviously an obvious bastardization of saying I have an albatross around my neck.
Yes. I was thinking more along the line.
There was an older comedian who did that.
I was thinking more like Leo Gorsi. Hunts Hall, Dead End Kids.
Maybe. I got it from someone of that ilk. Right. All right.
Right. He used to do that. Norm Crosby. There's a name. Norm
Crosby, yeah.
Norm Crosby used to play with the English language like that. Yeah, I picked up on it.
I know you did. Yeah. If you have an albacore stuck around your neck, at 516-256-9510, and you can get in on this fun and share your stuff. I can't read that right now because it's too small, but I trust you. So, also in this week in history, this is a pretty cool week in history. Good thing I have calendars. It was 4 years ago that Mike took his 71 Chevelle, the one that I spent a lot of time on the restoration process.
Right.
And we took it apart at the shop in Lynbrook, and it was a joint project with the Autoseum. Yes. Have students learn and do things. 4 years ago. Now, that car is on the road and running, and, I mean, still getting touch-up work done. It was at the shop again this past week for a few little touch-up things, but it's turnkey and ready to go. So
all in all, did that give you was that an easy restoration, or did it have its fair share of moments?
Well, I'll tell you this, like every restoration, it had, let me just say this from the start, if it was my car to restore in this, and I had it in the condition it was in when he got it,
right,
I would have had to sell it, because I wouldn't have had the wherewithal, the ability to restore that car, because of all the body work and the tough stuff that had to be done, only because it was done through there. Were right. They able to, now, once I started seeing that car again, when it was going back together, I was able to take over from there and just roll with it, because it was just bolting things back together, doing the engine work. But, yeah, the hard stuff, that hard body work, I'm not equipped for that. I'm not a body guy. So
right.
I couldn't. Something
you've always said. And I've done my fair share of body work, and it's not easy.
This was more than body work. This was literally rebuilding the hard panels. I mean, all the rust that came out of that car. It's amazing. And most people, I think, would have had to pass on that car.
Oh, I believe it.
So that one was saved.
I'm sure that the way you describe it, I'm sure it was a glorified parts car. If you think about it. That's, it's funny because I used to buy cars that were rusty. You know that all too well.
Yeah.
And now I just realize you're just buying air. I mean, you're not buying a car. You're buying air.
Somebody would have bought that car for the engine and for the powertrain, engine and transmission, rear end.
It was original, right? It was numbers matching.
Yeah. But that's about it. I mean, that's about all there would have been.
All right. 516-256-9510. We're going to the phones. We're going to the fun right here on Motormouth Radio and saying, hi, you're on with the Motormouths. Hello, hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, 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 hello.
Vic, did you butt dial us? Darn it.
I think he's listening to radio.
He is.
Is he listening to us?
He is.
All right. Call us back.
That didn't work out too well.
Yeah, I think we're done here. 516-256-9510. Phone line is open.
Yeah.
So, I think I see it again. Let's try this again. If technology works here. Hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
It's funny because I'm not seeing it here.
Oh, okay.
So...
Okay. Then that's, I don't know why it came up again. It did.
I don't know.
All righty. We're closing everything.
One of those days, folks. One of those.
Yes. All right. Back away from the phone. Got it.
Right, right. But,
that car had the original drivetrain suspension and rear.
Yeah. And as we found out, the previous owner had advertised it as being pretty much a rebuilt engine. And, okay. I sniffed around it, and I smelled a rat right away. And unfortunately, really? I was right. So even that had to come apart and be redone. Luckily, we only did the top end. It was cam and heads that had to be redone. The bottom end we didn't touch. I had a, it was hard enough convincing Mike to let me do the top end. Because I know you don't do coffee so much, and the last thing you want to do is spend more money. I got it, man. I understood, but it really couldn't have been used the way it was. The guy had a solid lifter cam with hydraulic lifters on it in there.
What?
And I think he had swapped the heads to sell the car because, you know, the heads were freshly painted Chevy orange, but when you look into the exhaust porch, you saw orange paint on the valve guides and the carboned up valves. Like, this is not a rebuilt head.
Right, right.
My theory is he probably had better heads or aluminum heads on the shelf, on the car, and then put them on the shelf and put the old cast heads back on it. But
let's go back to the phones, back to the fun, and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mounts.
Hey, Ray, Chris, it's Glenn.
Glenn, hey, how are you?
I texted you last week. It's been a long time since I called.
Yes.
How you been?
Good.
You doing well? What's going on?
I'm in the garage, but I'm painting doors for the house, so I'm not doing car work.
What? Glenn sent me a picture of his Camaro that you've seen the car. And I got to say, Glenn, the new wheels are definitely that road race look. You know, it gives it that kind of autocross look. What made you choose those?
In part was the look. I wanted something vintage. I wanted to get away from the rally rims. Although I'm not going to get rid of them, I'm going to keep them.
Yeah, sure.
I just said it was just a kind of surfing on the internet, and my friend said, "Oh, you should get, you know, bigger rims and do this, do that," and everything has a price tag.
Yeah,
sure. Fast forward, that's the brand I locked in on, and I went ahead and got that particular rim set with a staggered setup. So it's 17x8 in the back, and then 17x7s in the front.
That's kind of like, that's exactly,
and it fits the car in a stock configuration.
You know, yeah, you did what I did with my car. I think I have 17 by, I think my rear end is maybe 8.5 or 10 inch. And again, 17 by like 7.5 or 8 in the front, same thing. And the only thing I didn't like was I had to use a low profile tire in the front, but you know, it is what it is. It works.
Yeah. And now you talked about old tires and old stuff. I got, shocks on there from whenever. Remember we did the springs with Gerard way back when for the front, yeah, on that car.
Yeah.
And the rear leaf springs, I don't know where, you know, the I'm assuming they're original to whatever car that I got them from.
Yeah.
They're not new. They're not. So I did those at some point, swapped them out from another Camaro, and here we are. So I want to do stock leaf springs again, or I shouldn't say stock. I want to probably go a little lower.
Yeah.
And really buy a nice set of monotube shocks all around.
There you go.
That's my, for now. Or maybe, and it's a big maybe, to do tubular, let's say, upper and lower A-arms. That's a maybe. So,
right.
But I've got the car back together in its, as you see it, it runs, it drives, it gets down the street, and it's inspected again. So that's all that matters.
That's good news.
So
you had said that you had planned on doing something else with the car in the text. I don't remember what it was. Because the motor was sound, tranny was sound. You had gone through all that already. That was all done, right?
Basically, just to make it safe. And my thinking was the rear leaf springs for now. Like, just concentrate on one spot. I can't.
Yeah.
I don't want to go take everything apart, and that's, I don't have really much room either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But make it run, make it usable. And, of course, I'm getting this all ready for winter.
Right. Well, you know,
your timing's like mine. I get it.
But I'll tell you, like what I did, Glenn, is through the last few winters, if there's not snow on the ground and salt, I'm taking my car out. If it's dry, it's going out. It runs great in the cold weather, in the cold air.
Wow.
You know?
I might be doing that. So I did, you know, I didn't do much like research or looking around. I would love to go, like you mentioned, autocross route, but you really need to commit a lot of time and money into a certain, like, the what you're after. I just want to get down the street. I want to drive it on the road again.
Right.
And I said, all right, I'm going to stick with what I got and make it work. And
the
cost factor is big.
Yeah,
sure.
But the thing is, you keep your expectations low or sane, and you can attain that goal. It's not a hard goal, you know. And even now, you want to step it up. I'll say this because I was dealing with an A body. You're dealing with an F body. the parts are out there. There's multiple places to choose from.
Yes, yeah.
They've gotten a lot more affordable too, and it's not. I mean, you may have to save a little there. You know, sell your wife's jewelry that she doesn't wear. You know. Oh, I didn't say that, no, but you know, a couch. I don't know, and you can make that nut. Maybe in a month or two. You know,
yeah. Where's that bracelet? Are they gonna? You know, I did get those new shocks.
Yeah,
yeah. There are all those things. I think I'll just concentrate on my initial thoughts with the rear leaf springs, and then I'll go from there. Eventually, get cosmetic stuff is not in the equation at the moment.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you're talking about like rust, and you know, we're all dealing with older cars. This car has seen its fair share of use or abuse, and or being left outside for periods of time.
True.
Their body work is showing over the years. So I just, you know, I just use it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do a restoration on it. Not doesn't make sense.
No, but I'll say this.
Next car, maybe.
Back from when you first built that car, you know, in Freeport. I remember when you first did it. Back to the way it is now. It still looks a lot better, and now it's a driver. It is definitely, you know, a usable car, and hey, so it needs like the second gen go over. It needs to be like touched up again, but that's okay. That's, you know,
yeah, and that's what my objective is in time. So we'll see what happens.
No, believe me, Glenn, I'm proud to own a 10-footer. Actually, mine's like a 20-footer. It looks better when you're way far away. It looks really good. Once you get up close to it, you're like, ooh.
Yeah, super. The bigger the better, right?
Yeah.
What car you have now, Chris? I know you had multiples over the years.
Oh, but yeah. The latest suffering vehicle in my garage is a Chrysler, a 69 Chrysler convertible. So,
it's a big vehicle.
It is. It is. It's a handful. And it's one of those cars that I should have never bought it, and I'll probably lament if I ever sell it. So it's one of those cars. But it keeps me busy.
It's a land yacht.
It is.
You recently got that car?
I've had it about a year now. I had the I had the TR6 for about 20 years, and I sold that. And it was just a matter of time before something. I always had big convertibles. I always did. I always had big Buicks. I always had big Caddy convertibles. So it was kind of like, let's go back into that again. And I saw this come up, and I went, yeah, let's try it. What a dumb thing to say.
Switch it up.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm learning a lot, and it's going back. It's like you say.
That's the other thing. It's all a learning curve.
Yeah, it sure is.
You hone your skills on something else, and
right,
try to do better the next go around. So that's kind of where I'm at too.
Right, and that's the place where you and I are. Well, Ray isn't anymore because the GTO is finished. His car is finished. But where you and I are, if you ever wanted to practice on some body work and do some small patches here and there on the Camaro, you can give it a shot. Right. And what happens? Okay,
I got plenty of spots.
Right.
I have to come by and show you, Ray. It's coming through, but you, from 20 feet away at 20 miles an hour going by, you don't really see it.
Exactly. So what? You're gonna really mess it up that badly? No.
And Glenn's done that before. He's done that before. He's tackled that kind of stuff before, and you know, that's the thing.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Right, it's a car you drive like sometimes. So you spray it, you get some runs and drips. You go, oops!
Yeah.
All right, when that dries, I'll sand it. That's all.
Exactly.
Right.
That's all.
Well, let me get back to my work here.
Good luck.
I just wanted to say hello, and I'll be in touch.
Keep in touch, Glenn. Great to hear from you. Thanks.
A pleasure.
All right, guys. So long.
Right,
be safe.
So long. That's our good old friend Glenn. So yeah.
516-256. 9510, yes.
And what we're going to do is we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take our break. But first, I have to say, before we get to the honor group of the hour, I have another dishonor group of the hour.
Oh, okay.
And it comes from working on my own vehicle.
What?
If you have bought a car from a person or a person, the previous owner was an effing slob.
Wow.
You have to clean up after.
Oh.
They are in the dishonored group of the hour. And the way you can see what I got myself involved in is look at our social media feeds, look at Twitter and Facebook.
Oh, boy.
which is Motor Mouth Radio. That's our tag. And on Instagram, it's real_MotorMouthRadio. And you will see the center console, but you'll see worse is what's under the center console. Oh, you zoom in on that picture.
Oh, good God. What is that, a nest?
This guy must have had bagels every day of his life. There's candy. Actually, there's an even worse one that I have.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was explained to me that what happens is when food sits like that in a warm area, the sugars release. Because I couldn't vacuum this stuff up. It looked like bird seed, but I couldn't vacuum it up. It was stuck. I'm like, what the heck? No, the sugars release and then reform, and it forms food tar. Yeah, it forms.
It looks like bees. It looks like insects in there.
That's like bagel seeds and crackers and.
Oh my gosh!
Also,
yeah, when you have to take a car apart to clean it.
You know what happened? I had the seat out because I was changing the driver's seat because he skeeved that up too. So I said I spent almost $300 on a used driver's seat. Just to not have to sit on his dopey crap. So, oh yeah, some things are worth spending the money on. Trust me.
Whoa, yeah, I'm sure of that.
This guy had this vehicle since he's the second owner. I can track it back. I think he probably had 10 years.
I see that in the picture. The seat is gone. The console's gone. You can obviously the shift selector and the quadrants there. But past that, on the floor, looks like a pile of bees. Yeah, that's what it looks like to me.
There's even a worse picture that I didn't post.
Good.
The picture might have made it to. Yeah, there. Well, that's good. That shows
good.
In every crack and crevice. So what happened is, I had the seat out and I was vacuuming the floor, and in the FJ, it's beautiful. Everything is plastic, so it's like. You know,
sure.
I'm noticing that there was stuff everywhere, just little crumbs and things.
Oh,
so,
God.
Poking out from the bottom of the side of the console was a piece of paper. And I pulled it, and it was a little piece of paper. So as I pulled it out, a couple little seeds and crumbs fell. I'm like, what the heck is that? So I grabbed the side of the console at the bottom and pulled it out. And then a shower of seeds and crackers. So I said, all right, I got to take this console out. And I will tell you this, I go on record. I don't know if it's a Toyota thing, and I don't think so, because I've worked on my daughter's Toyota, not to this degree, but in other degrees. Like, you need to take the whole front bumper and grill off to get the headlights out of her car.
Sure.
Mine, you don't. And what happens is, hang on that, Chris. What happens is, this FJ comes apart, the console came apart in literally 30 seconds. I had it out. No clips broke. They, like,
wow. Built this
thing to be taken apart. So
that's pretty amazing.
Took it home, cleaned it. This guy's a slob. I might write him an anonymous letter and
he's not going to know it's you.
Well, he doesn't know that I own the car, truthfully, because he didn't sell it to me. If you think of it, he did not sell me that car.
A lot of good it's going to do.
That's the dishonor group of the hour. We'll make you
all right. The Motor Mouth Radio honor group of the hour. If you don't trust your fuel gauge. That's right. Does your gauge read 3/4 and it's really a full tank? Does the gauge read 1/4 and you're riding on fumes? Does the needle swing past full and you're missing a ground somewhere? Does the silly thing even work at all and you're using the trip odometer to tell you when to stop and fill up? Well, if you're not on speaking terms with your fuel gauge, Ray, well, then you are part of the Motor Mouth Radio Honor Group of the Hour.
That sounds like a travelogue in the Switzer household of project cars, if you ask me.
It sure is. Every one of my fuel gauges, I'm like, I know you're going to mess with me.
Yeah.
I don't trust you. Right. I don't trust what you're saying.
On those happy notes, we'll take our bottom of the hour break. And we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio at 516-256-9510. Mm-hmm. Keep it where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
It's a call-studded program. We do have another caller on the line. Caller, identify yourself.
Anthony, I called those guys with the cars one time.
Oh, nice. The Motormouth guys.
Oh, yeah. Those good old boys.
There you are. Anthony, where are you calling from?
I'm in Freeport. Yeah, this morning I miss it. My boss was, every time I turn on, he turns it off. I say, whoa. Yo, give him a karate chop.
Give him a karate chop.
Give him an F5.
I love it.
Man, dudes.
It's a pleasure, bro. Take it easy. That was
amazing.
My favorite caller.
Of all time.
Maybe all time. I have heard him with the Motormouth guys. That's why I recognize them a little.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services. 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
All right, happy to see you stuck with us to hear about our goopy cars and our previous owners that we want to string up and do nasty things with here on Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. Give us a call, 516-256-9510. That means you, Keith, and we will be happy to talk to you about your car concerns. So.
I remember cleaning up massive amounts of soda in a console of my Subaru.
Oh,
and soda is...
Yeah.
Is awful to any sort of component, whether it's some sort of like a computer board or anything mechanical. You know what soda does? It turns to gum, and that's really. But what you're dealing with is soda with lumps.
I don't think this guy had soda in that mix. I think it was really just the food. I'm finding Advil gel caps, candies that were wrapped. I mean, a little of everything. It just dumped onto this console. I can't understand how it. I mean, listen, we all eat in the car occasionally. I said how I told you about the White Castle story a little
sure.
while.
Sure.
But I'm a nut. Whereas, like in the car, if I do happen to have a bagel or a roll, I'm careful how I eat it. And right. I learned, like, as you're taking the bite, suck in a little bit. It'll get the seeds, you know. And then something, invariably a few things are going to, particles are going to fall. But when I get out of the car, I then
brush off.
And I pick them out and I, you know.
Exactly. You have an awareness.
Exactly.
It's part of your perfectionism that we've noticed throughout this whole show that you're saddled with.
True. Okay. Yeah, very
516-256-9510 is the phone number. We're going to the phones. We're going to the fun. And we're saying hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? This is Keith.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm cool.
Keith, how are you?
How does that work? Good, how are you?
It's mental telephonics with Ray. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Ray just reaches out to you mentally and goes, call the show. That's what he does.
Yep, exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working on cars all the time, and this is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Oh, good.
And I have a question because I did something here.
Uh-oh.
I have a, it's fixable. It's a 76 GMC motorhome.
Oh, wow.
It has an Oldsmobile. Yeah. It has an Oldsmobile 45 in it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm doing valve cover gaskets. You know, it's a normal painted. It's
trouble drive. You're working inside the truck, right? Inside the cabin, basically, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you a question, Keith. Does it have shag carpeting? It's a 76.
No, that's gone.
Oh, does it have green
that's
appliances?
Gone, yeah. No.
Does it have a disco ball? Come on, Keith, work with me.
It might have went way back when. But all that's been refurbished.
Did you find a Saturday Night Fever 8-track tape in the?
It's a motorhome, not a rolling discotheque. Come on.
Okay, so moving on.
Why did you buy a motorhome?
To go places, you know. We want to go traveling and go. And I wanted a cool motorhome, you know, something that wasn't like an everyday square box.
Right.
Yeah, you wanted
so we got this.
And, square box.
Yes, so you're doing the valve cover gaskets on it, which is cool. Good. So you're not going to get asphyxiated with oil smells in the cabin.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So it'll only leak like maybe one quart instead of three.
I love it. The eternal optimist. I love it.
Take it.
Yeah. But, you know, so I'm working in here, leaning on stuff and, you know, whatever. And I look and some vacuum line broke.
Oh.
I looked it up. Yeah. It's the vacuum valve or something like that. It goes into the intake.
Okay.
It has a temperature. So this is probably for Ray. I can go get a replacement. I can't get a replacement today, obviously, because this thing's, you know, old. How do you think I should fix this thing? I mean, one of the vacuum lines, I leaned on it and it just cracked one of the ports.
Right. Wow. Christian just sent me some stuff about a motorhome with a 455 front wheel drive. This thing is really ancient and cool. You're talking about a temperature control, temperature actuated vacuum switch is what you're, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So you need the whole
switch. Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah.
So you want to replace that whole switch.
Okay.
Is it screwed into the block?
Temporary fix.
A temporary, okay.
Yeah, if
it's a temporary fix, if you have a broken nipple that a hose goes on, you just, you know, take it out of a hose and JB weld it back on.
Right, epoxy.
The switch may be available because that may have been used in other lines, you know, from, in other cars. It's an Oldsmobile.
Yeah, it's an old, it's the whole front, front end of the Oldsmobile Toronado.
Okay, so that may be a Toronado part, which, you know, may not be too hard to find.
I looked online. The stores don't have it locally, so I can order it, but, you know, I'm trying to get the thing up and running. No. Now, can I just bypass that? What does that thing do?
That could be where, you know, if it's small hoses, my first thought would be that would control the dash controls for the heat, the HVAC. That's my first thought.
Right.
So it goes into the carburetor.
Well, that's what
it goes into the carburetor, and it's just heat.
Is that the source of the vacuum? The carburetor, is that the source, or is it screwed into?
It looks like it's probably the source, and then it goes in. You know what? I wonder if this thing's even working. Now I'm looking at it.
I tell you what you do. You have my email address. Yeah. Send me some pictures of that. Some close up and some broad pictures. And I'll do some legwork. I may be able to get an answer for you on that.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's just bypassed right now anyway, because there's a hose that's just looped around, goes from top right to the bottom.
No, some of the GM stuff did use a looped hose. I saw that, and I remember the first time I saw it, like, who bypassed this? But no, it was the way it was configured. So that's what I mean. I can. If I'm correct, I may be able to get you some factory drawings on that. But I'm not
keen. If you can still salvage the tube, if you can find like some sort of thin jeweler screwdriver to stick in the tube and then pretty much put a little JB weld on it and affix it to the
that's,
and the only reason why I say put a jeweler screwdriver in there because you don't want the JB weld to close up the hole.
Right.
Or a toothpick. Yeah, one of those things. And let it sit overnight. You have your temporary fix, at least until you can get the part ordered and delivered.
Right.
So, I'm just wondering what it even does. I mean, it looks like it's some kind of temperature, then I don't know.
If you can get your hands on the valve close enough to see if there's a part number on it, that's the added bonus. If you can send me that as well, then I can really do some digging. Because I have some contacts and some sources. Joe D still is an eye in the sky with stuff like that too. So we can. I have a couple of different between my library and guys like him. I can usually get some answers for. Plus, we have other guys who are in the Olds Club. Y'all talk to Bobby.
Yeah. And in the meantime, if you can get a set of polyester pants and a set of high top shoes and a Kiana shirt,
just like Chris is wearing now, Keith. trust me.
Get a little Bee Gees going on. That'd be cool. Right. Send pictures.
Keith, all right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Keith. Send me some pictures.
Take care.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks. All right, guys. Bye. See you, bye.
Excellent.
516-256-9510. I'm in the mood to dance. Hey, look at me. I'm dancing. That's cool. I love it. I love it.
I want to hear from Christian because he's got a motorhome just like that.
Really? Probably
just like, and this thing is like, it's cool. It is very, very cool. And, it doesn't surprise me.
I like our internet know-it-all. This is a ruffled shirt. Yeah, exactly. With one of those big ties. Bright blue velvet ties.
Right.
All right, we're going back to the phones. Okay. My longtime radio colleague at 516-256-9510. Go into the phones. Go into the fun. Saying hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello, gentlemen.
Christian.
What's up?
How are you, my brother?
That is crazy that he just called about that, because when we pulled the big block out of the motorhome in Medford, right behind that motorhome was the one with the 455 in it.
Unbelievable.
Front-wheel drive.
Wow. Yeah.
But the nicest thing is, this one that we seen was all aluminum.
Oh, yeah.
The whole out exterior was aluminum. And if you polish it out, I'll tell you, it's not rotted out, of course.
Right.
But when the guy said it had a... I'm like, that's a Tornado front end in that thing? Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
That's amazing.
Well,
and then we thought about that thing. What's that?
I'm saying it makes sense for parts replacement, reliability, for roadworthiness. I mean,
it's
all
in the snow.
Yeah.
You can pull yourself through the snow.
Sure. Up hills. Yeah. It's
Ike's Peak in a motorhome.
I just sent Ray pictures. I just sent Ray pictures of it because I'm like, what did he just say?
I just sent the pictures to Chris and our internet know-it-all so they can see it for themselves. So they will see it.
Yeah, well, this thing's available. I mean, if someone wants to take the shot at buying a restaurant, hey, that's all for you, man. Not for me. I'm building a house right now. That's a house on wheels. That's all I look at it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
We're just bad enough we got the big block that we're swapping into our Snap-on truck.
Pulled
the big block in 86 out of another motorhome.
Right.
With seatbelts. That's how we got it out.
Oh, geez.
With seatbelts.
Seatbelts and a forklift, yeah.
Wow. Holy
toy. No, no, no.
Did you buckle the seatbelts or did you tie the seatbelts to
complete knots?
Knots. Good.
Some knots, yeah. It's all good.
You don't want to buckle.
And here's on the other note about stuff, too. I'm like, I'm outside working on the house right now and I'm listening, but I hear all these little tidbits and I'm like, I just put a 06. Trailblazer on the road. I could barely drive it because it's such a great vehicle. It smells. I've been going crazy shampooing this thing out, and just like Ray, I got to pull the console because it's cigarettes and coffee. It's the worst.
Oh, you know, Christian, this truck that I bought, the same thing. You get in and it just had this kind of probably not as disgusting as yours, but it just had a little bit of a funk to it.
I get pulled over. They're going to think I'm a serial killer or something because it smells like death in there or something. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus.
Right.
I want to strip the whole interior, but it's not worth it. You know. But I said, you know what? I'll strip the whole interior and I'll just, I don't know, undercoat the whole inside of the darn thing and put
headliner,
home insulation up and call it a day.
Yeah,
it's just an extra work vehicle. He's laughing, but you know what it is?
It's true.
You get something that has a good chassis and it drives so good and the four-wheel drive works and I'm like, hey, it's a good winter truck, you know?
Right,
but it's
2 days, I got to park it.
Right.
I shampooed it 3 times. When I shampoo it, it looks like it repurpose it right back to Starbucks, man. I'm telling you. It's like brown and like caffeine and cigarette tar and I'm like, maybe I could like ferment this stuff and make some sort of crazy
Pizza
brew
syrup
or something. I don't know.
I'm going to buy one of these. Do you have one?
Laughing,
it's funny, but I understand. I sympathize with you, my brother. I get it. I know.
Do you have one of those?
So good. I wish.
Do you have one of those machines that can actually, like the extractors that you could you spray the fluid on the carpet and then it sucks it up into the bin because they work. I'm going to buy one.
Yes, I have that. Yes, I bought one. Okay.
Okay.
But right now, I'm going to take a razor blade. I'm going to cut the headliner out and the carpet and everything. I'm going to strip that thing to bare metal interior. The console. When I pull that console, God only knows, I probably could roll about 8 cartons of Marlboro. I have no idea.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's the truth. I totally get it.
I drive it for 2 days. I park it at the shop. Matt's like, what's the matter? I said, I can't. You gotta take it overnight. He comes back the next day. He drives so good, but it just smells so bad.
Yeah. you gotta take a shower after you get out of the truck.
Right. That's why I changed the driver's seat.
It's a great vehicle.
Hey, that's why I spent $300 on a driver's seat. I didn't want to sit on the same seat this slob sat on. It's all like, just, my God.
I'm in the same boat. What's wrong? Why are we? Oh, come on, man. Why do we do this to ourselves, right?
Yeah. Oh, yo, Christian, I just found out from a good friend who has some law enforcement background that burnt coffee grinds gets the DOA smell out.
Oh, I'm good.
Don't worry, we'll edit that out.
Listen, we got to roll.
That's great. Oh, wow. So on that note, I'll talk to you guys later.
Thanks, Christian.
Thanks, Christian.
See you later.
Man, this show gives advice. Good advice.
Ooh, boy, do we ever. It's just a testament to the friends we have who help us out. And we got guys that can help in some situations that you can't talk about. So
that's why I value this show and love it very much.
Exactly.
Respect the people that listen to it. That's for sure.
So as we wind down, let me say again that, you know, I do value this show, Chris, as I value you as a co-host, the fun alone and the camaraderie. It's just, you know what? If I don't do anything else ever in my life again as I get older, I'll always be happy that I did this. So, that's just the old age setting in. Don't worry, they're going to give me a pill and send me back to my chair later. I'll be no, Dad, you just sit there and be quiet. It's all right.
Yes, just right. I'll waddle past you every once in a while and ask who are you?
Hey,
who are you?
Yeah. I see you once. Right. That's what we're headed, gentlemen. So let's do it with fun.
Exactly. Hey, you know what? If we get Alzheimer's, it'll be like meeting a new friend every week.
Right.
Hey, who are you?
Yeah, you're right. So with that, we're going to go out and meet some old friends.
Yes.
New, old and new. Chris, what do you say?
Don't follow us home and don't smoke in the car.
Right. So for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, Motormouth Radio, signing off. We'll see you next week.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop you want to have your car fixed at. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.